Good morning and welcome in the name of our risen Savior Jesus Christ to worship this rainy, rainy Sunday morning. Everybody is back. The gang is all here today. Cantor Dave is back from Colorado. Deacon Bill is here. Karen's here. And all of you are here. And we're so glad to see you and to be worshiping with you. So each Sunday, as we've been gathering for worship, been sharing with you things that I've been thankful for, and hopefully things that what you've been thankful for. So today, it's a little bit different. I have some hope-filled news regarding worship opportunities. Our task force for reopening the sanctuary for in-house worship has completed its seventh revision of our reopening document. It will be presented to council tomorrow night. And if approved, our goal is to reopen for very limited in-house worship on Sunday, September 13th. There will only be one service, which will be at 9:30 for the foreseeable future. Information about Sunday school, confirmation classes, potential adult forums, gatherings will be forthcoming. Everything is so very, very fluid. We are aware that some of our Lutheran churches have reopened already with limited numbers. And there are also some of our Lutheran churches who have no plans for reopening at this time. At the present time, Sunday worship will not include Holy Communion. Our plan is to continue live stream worshiping indefinitely. So that is our hope for September 13th. Many of you have been asking for an outdoor service in the Grove. Well, in the Grove is impossible right now because of so many trees down. But in order to celebrate Holy Communion, I will be offering a sunset service of Holy Communion on Wednesday evening, August 26th at 7 p.m. We will gather in the exit way driveway, which will be blocked off to traffic. Cantor Dave will provide music. We will not be singing, and we will use pre-filled communion cups. Masks will be required, as will social distancing. And I can say to you that the service will not be held if everyone is not wearing a mask. So please bring your own lawn chair. This information will be on an e-blast coming out this week. And I so look forward to being with you even at a distance of 6 feet. So it is that time to get your phones ready to send out the peace of Christ to someone when we share it together. So let us prepare our hearts to worship God. And my prayer, as always, is that our time together will be a time of peace and hope and grace for each one of you. So we begin our worship with a brief order for confession and absolution. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors or families or friends as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, and free us from the urge to speak with haste, offending those we fail to fully understand. Let our words always honor your wondrous love so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for each one of us. And for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to each one of you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. God of all peoples, your arms reach out to embrace all those who call upon you. Teach us, as disciples of your Son, to love the world with compassion and constancy, that your name may be known throughout the earth. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. So, boys and girls, it's time for us to get together with Toby. And Toby's a really good boy here. He's got his mask because he knows that's the safe way to go. And he even has a mask that matches his clothes because it's kind of fun to match. So, good morning, everybody. Nate and Kate, Jillian and Rachel, and Elizabeth, and Christopher, and Olivia, and Allie, Rachel, and David, Harrison, Benjamin, Grace, Brian, is Wes with us? And Wes is here today. Hi, Wes. Toby says hi. So today's lessons are a little bit challenging, and Toby and I were trying to figure out what we could talk about, how the lessons might help us, how we might hear these lessons. And one of the things that popped out at me with all of the lessons is that it's full of words. Words can hurt us. Words can make us feel happy. Words can cheer us up. Words can make us feel comfortable. They can make us feel loved. But words can also sometimes really cut us and make us sad and make us cry. I think that's what I'm getting through all of the various lessons, whether it's the first lesson, the second lesson, the psalm, or the gospel, or that beautiful prayer that I just read for us. God has compassion and love for all of God's people. And so this week, as we remember that we were baptized and that the waters of baptism washed over us and that we are God's beloved child, and that Jesus loves us so very, very much, that helps us to remember, oh, when I get mad at my friend, to not say something mean, but to say something loving and caring and nice to them so that their heart isn't broken and so that they don't feel bad. So it's so awesome to be with each of you this week. It's so good to see you. And I know you don't realize that I can see you if I go over to the computer. But you have a wonderful week, and God bless. Amen.
The first reading is from Isaiah, chapter 56, verses 1 and 6 through 8. The prophet calls upon Israel to do justice in view of God's imminent intervention to save. Righteousness and obedience define who belongs to the Israelite community, not race, nationality, or any other category. Thus says the Lord, maintain justice and do what is right, for soon my salvation will come and my deliverance will be revealed. And the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord, to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord, and to be his servants, all who keep the Sabbath and do not profane it, and hold fast my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain, and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. Thus says the Lord God, who gathers the outcasts of Israel, I will gather others to them besides those already gathered. The word of the Lord.
Let all the peoples praise you, O God, let all the peoples praise you. May God be merciful to us and bless us. May the light of God's face shine upon us. Let your way be known upon earth, your saving health among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you judge the peoples with equity and guide all the nations on earth. Let all the peoples praise you, O God, let all the peoples praise you. Let the peoples praise you, O God, let all the peoples praise you. The earth has brought forth its increase. God, our own God, has blessed us. May God give us blessing, and may all the ends of the earth stand in awe. Let all the peoples praise you, O God, let all the peoples praise you.
The second reading is from Romans chapter 11, verses 1 and 2, 29 through 32. God has not rejected Israel. Rather, the call and gifts of God are irrevocable, so that while all have been disobedient, God has mercy upon all. Paul writes, I ask then, has God rejected his people? By no means. I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Just as you were once disobedient to God, but have now received mercy because of their disobedience, so they have now been disobedient in order that, by the mercy shown to you, they too may now receive mercy. For God has imprisoned all in disobedience, so that he may be merciful to all. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 15th chapter. Jesus teaches his disciples that true purity is a matter of the heart rather than outward religious observances. Almost immediately, this teaching is tested when a woman considered to be a religious outsider approaches Jesus for help. Jesus left that place and went to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And just then, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." Jesus answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before Jesus, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It's not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." And she said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." And then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. There are times I can't but wonder if there can possibly be a more challenging gospel reading than the one before us this morning. Indeed, is there a more unpleasant picture of Jesus than the one where his words compare a Canaanite woman and her tormented daughter to dogs? If there is, I cannot think of it. And every 3 years, we grapple with this text, and I have to admit, I do not know how to understand Jesus doing all that he can to ignore the piercing, insistent voice of the Canaanite woman who comes to him pleading for health and wholeness for the life of her precious child. And I certainly do not know what to do with his words once he finally responded, cruelly reminding her that he has been sent to give what he was sent to give was not meant for her or her tormented child. It is downright difficult to not hear his words as degrading and insulting. Indeed, I hardly know what to make of it when this unnamed woman, who could be any mother or every mother, actually bests Jesus in a theological argument, which leads to her daughter receiving the healing she had come pleading for from the start. And while countless scholars have tried to explain this away by suggesting that Jesus' tone was joking or that he was setting his disciples up to learn, I am not completely convinced. In fact, I, for one, cannot help but wonder if Jesus was also learning as he went, if he was also discerning his mission one step at a time, even as you and I are called to do, even as individually and together we are all called to do. Pastor Eric will be leading all of us starting September 1st to discern what our mission is as the saints of St. Matthew as we navigate a totally changed world from the time we began the call process when Pastor Ingrid left. Starting a new call at this time will be a challenge. For me, hearing the story in this way of Jesus learning as he went, while still powerfully disturbing, well, I find it the most life-giving understanding that I can take with me. For if Jesus was just feeling his way forward with some basic principles or tenets to guide him on his way, what is to say that this is not also so for all of us? It seems to me that there's some freedom in this. And that within this, there is some inherent encouragement to take a step forward and then perhaps to step to the side or even backwards from time to time as we all listen and learn better and deeper. And there's a whole lot of grace to even say things, to do things incorrectly, especially as we find ourselves gifted with those who will not let go This at least is part of the takeaway for me this week as I pondered this text. And as a result, there is also this. Just as was the case with Jesus, perhaps it is also so for us that God's vision for who and what and where we are called to be is far greater, far different than we ever imagined or experienced or perhaps dared to hope. Until now, until the crying needs of the world have come home because of the pandemic we are going through. For surely, as we hear this, even now in Jesus' encounter with a Canaanite woman, prior to this moment, it was apparently enough for him to have only come for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. To my understanding, her desperate, tenacious plea pushes Jesus to recognize the gifts of God where, then and now, even more now, are even more than what Jesus first was led to believe. So this is where I am landing today. August 16th, in the 21st or 22nd, I'm not sure what, week of COVID pandemic. Some of our area schools have decided to start out the year remotely. Some are opting for all day, every day, in-person learning, and others are somewhat in between, and there is so much anxiety and concern with all of the possible scenarios. And in a very similar way, some Lutheran congregations are going back to in-house, in-person worship, and others are opting to meet in parking lots and outdoors, and some in our area, as I said in my announcements, have no plans for indoor worship at this time and are staying fully online for the foreseeable future. And there are those congregations who are doing a combination of both. And there are those of you who are totally comfortable with only remote, and one or two voices who are saying we should have been open a long time ago, and everything in between. And like each of you, I miss seeing all of you and not being able to be among and with you here in our sanctuary, and I grieve that loss. Just as our children and teachers are truly grieving the loss of a normal school year. And yet, as I was pondering my message, I began to think about and remember how God has worked before, and how God always promises to work yet again, and yes, how God is working in the here and now, when fear and anxiety is running deep and losses are piling up. It occurred to me once again that God's vision for what will be is always bigger than our own. Just as Jesus realized that when he finally granted healing to the Canaanite woman's daughter. Indeed, what if what God has in mind for us is far broader and deeper than only going back to the way things were before? I'll say that again. What if what God has in mind for us is far broader and deeper than only going back to the way things were before? I mean, think of this with me for a few moments, please. And I do realize that my message is a bit longer today. I only have the gift and privilege of standing in this pulpit for 2 more weeks. So you're getting a longer sermon. And they're laughing here in the sanctuary. So thank you. So some familiar Bible stories to help us hear this good news. Consider the story of Abraham and Sarah, and of all the times they gave up on God's promises, or the ways in which they sought to manipulate the world to make those promises come true in their way, and how God pointed to the very stars in the sky to help expand their understanding of what God had in store for them, of what God would do. Or this story, the story of Ruth and Naomi. Certainly, it would have been entirely understandable had Ruth decided to return to her first home following the death of her husband. Her mother-in-law articulated that very clearly. Instead, she heard a call to something more and honored her commitment to Naomi, accompanying her back to her home, a place entirely foreign to her. And yet, Ruth could not have imagined then, it seems to me, that her union with Boaz would result in her being part of something so central to our faith story, to be among those leading to the birth of Jesus. Or this story. Think of Zechariah and Elizabeth and how he could not imagine that God would bless them with a child at their advanced age. And I'm sure glad God never did that to me. And of how God did. How God did provide a child at their advanced age, giving them far more than they could have imagined asking for at that point in their life. And just one more, the story of the Apostle Paul, and how his vision was expanded after being knocked to the ground. At first, yes, he lost his sight for a time, until it was restored by one who before had been a sworn enemy. Think of how Paul was called to see God's intent for all of us in new and expansive ways, later extending it to all people, not only the lost sheep of the house of Israel, much as Jesus did. The biblical witness goes on and on and on in this way. And again, every single time, God's vision to share the good news of Jesus is so much higher and broader and wider than ours. And so it is that I am wondering these days, as I begin to end my time with you as interim pastor and prayerfully help all transition to our newly called and settled pastor and embrace him embrace him as if this very time is one of those times from Scripture. It's not easy to call a new pastor in the times that we're at. But my prayer is that we will all begin to embrace Pastor Eric and his message and his gifts and his talents with all of us in spite of the time we're in. As with Abraham and Sarah, as with the people of Israel in the wilderness, as with Elizabeth and Zechariah and the Apostle Paul, and yes, as with Jesus. Could this be one of those times when our vision has also been too small? Specifically, I am wondering these days if our hope of getting back to the way things were is nowhere near large enough. I'm wondering if our vision of getting back to in-person worship is not nearly as large as the hope God has for us and for God's beloved world. Beyond that, I'm not at all certain of where God's response to this wondering may lead. I am just simply supposing it to you and to me, to all of us together with our new pastor. I mean, what if God envisions something more than what has been? Can you imagine that? Certainly, all those beloved stories point us to more and different. And what is it, I wonder, and how will we know? And jumping off the story we hear today, how will we, along with Jesus, tune our hearts to the suffering of the world as we listen to where God is calling us next? With Paul, Is this virus knocking us to the ground and temporarily blinding us until we can see again? Until we can begin to see afresh and anew God's vision for us, the people of St. Matthew Lutheran Church in Moorestown? Or, with the people of Israel, will our eyes be opened and our bodies and spirits fed in this wilderness time, even as we yearn for life in a new, long-awaited land? So I wonder with all of you, is our vision too small? And what do you think? Amen. Confident of your care and helped by the Holy Spirit, we pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need. We pray for those convalescing, homebound, and all affected by isolation, for our first responders, our military members, their families, doctors, nurses, medical technicians, all essential workers, those working tirelessly serving their neighbors and keeping us safe. We pray for Denise Logan, for Pastor Dick Herman, for Oliver, Receive in ministry leaders and our care receivers and others we name before you, silently in our hearts or aloud on our lips. Bring healing and relief to all, and give us hope in the promise of a new eternal life where pain and suffering will be no more.
Our response today is, hear our prayer. Lord, you gather the church to be part of your mission as ambassadors of Jesus Christ. As Jesus acknowledged the great faith of a woman from outside his people, help your church discover and find blessing in the faith of people we might reject. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
You have blessed us with the bounty of the earth. Grant your grace to all creatures, that the earth will flourish. Relieve waters choked by garbage. Renew soil stripped of nutrients. And refresh the air of all creatures need to live. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
You call the nations to be glad and sing for joy. Let your way be known among all the nations of the world, now divided by competing interests, contending alliances, and consumed by enormous worry. Bless us and make your face shine upon all. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
You show unexpected mercy, kindness, and generosity. We pray for those who do not have enough, for outcasts in our villages, cities, and towns, and for those who need your healing. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
In you we live and move and have our being. Grant our congregation and that of Lord of Life Tabernacle, as Pastor Wendell meets them today, grace to follow where the Holy Spirit leads and to find our life refreshed in you. Accompany us in the rhythms of late summer. Give us rest and renewal, and strengthen us for the mission in your name. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Your eternal promises are more than we could ever imagine. As you gather all the saints, join us also with them on the great day of your salvation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. And in the certain hope that nothing can separate us from your love, we offer these prayers to you through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And now we share with one another the peace of Christ, and with those we wish to share with electronically. So the peace of Christ be with you always. Peace, Dave. Peace, Karen. As I come up to the altar each Sunday morning, I can hear phones binging with people sending and receiving the peace of the Lord. And now please join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And now live your lives in Christ, rooted and built up in him, and abound in thanksgiving. And the blessing of the Holy Trinity, one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be upon you and remain with you forever. Amen.
And now go in peace. Christ is with you. Thanks be to God. Alleluia.